sometimes during the most trying times in our lives, a spark of inspiration allows us to feel a sense of purpose and clarity. Our community connection this week is in Bradford and Susquehanna counties, where Heather McNett, founder of the nonprofit SAFE, had an idea to turn struggle into strength. It was an idea that was not only successful, but proved to be the journey of a lifetime. Heather McNett takes the story from here.
SAFE stands for Supporting Area Families Every Day, and it started with an idea. In 2008, I was a single mom, and we had to do custody exchanges in a public location, and sometimes those exchanges were a little chaotic, and I thought that my children deserved to have a place that was maybe fun and safe and private for them to go from one parent to another. And then also that would make us safe as well. There was nothing in our area. We live in a rural location, Bradford County and Susquehanna County. They're both rural locations. But I had read where there was a place down around State College that did offer that. So it was something that I had thought about and put in the back of my mind. And then around 2015, 2016, that thought just came to the forefront again, and I started to have conversations like, if I ever win the lottery, this is what I was going to do. And somebody said, you don't need to win the lottery, you just need to call the victim's advocate at the Bradford County Court. So I did. She connected me with other nonprofits, and we got the ball rolling.
That's an incredible story. So here you've been thinking about this, and finally you made that move to making it a reality. When it did, tell me what went through you, knowing that you just created something that's going to be able to help people. But you're going to have programs, and you're going to have clinicians. So tell me how that all started.
We started in the basement of a church in Towanda. And it was really exciting to start working with families. But almost immediately after we opened our doors to provide custody exchanges, the community came and said, well, we really need supervised visitations for families that might not have an open case with children and youth, but there's still some safety issues. So maybe the family is overcoming domestic violence or substance use issues, or maybe there's not a stable housing to where they can have a visit with their child. They might be living out of their car, those sorts of things. So we were able to get the training through Supervised Visitation Network. It's a global network that specializes in supervised visitation, and we just learned all that we could about it and really just became the experts in that area for trauma-informed supervised visitations. And we were offering that for several years when, again, the conversation was starting around, we're helping families to be safe and have safe connections, but how can we go upstream so that, you know, they might not even need these types of services? The conversation around parenting education came up. So we started providing parenting classes publicly as well as in the correctional facilities in our area. There was a very positive response. These classes were not court ordered. Our families were just signing up. So we started doing the parenting education, and then we became certified in nurturing parenting. So we've been offering that for a few years. And now we're getting ready to get our certification in families in recovery, specific parenting classes really directed towards a parent who is in recovery, how to connect and build that bond and relationship with their kiddos, and how to create safe boundaries. And so we're really excited about that. That's a class that we're going to offer in Susquehanna County, the nurturing parenting we offer in both counties. And I'm really grateful to share that all of our programs we're able to offer at no charge.
Do you realize how helpful that is to somebody who might be worried about something like that?
I do, because I was that mom that I worked full-time and I didn't qualify for really any sort of help. But if I had that extra bill of professional supervised custody exchanges or those added things, it really would have created a hardship for me. I was right there where I was just over the line, but I just didn't have enough. So I do know how impactful that is because that's what I needed.
Heather, this came from an idea because of a personal situation. And it took those steps and those years to kind of formulate what kind of programs you wanted at the time and what you're looking forward to doing.
Mm-hmm.
So who's helping you out along the way? Do you have specialized individuals, therapists on your staff? Tell us about the people who make up SAFE.
To start out, I would have to say one of my biggest supporters is my husband, who, when I came to him and said, okay, honey, I want to quit my full-time stable job and jump into the nonprofit world. And oh, by the way, I'm going to cash in my retirement. I'm going to live off of this until we've built this nonprofit. And he just was like, okay, this is what we're doing. And so he has been very supportive. He also is the Easter Bunny, the Santa Claus, the fix-it guy, the plow the driveway guy, while still maintaining his full-time jobs. And then my children, of course, they are so excited. Now they're all adults. And so they've been able to come alongside and do what needs to be done, whether it's painting or helping us move. We just bought a building in May, so that was exciting. But when it comes to really just specialized things, I have an amazing board. I have a board of people from therapy, childcare. We have a pastor. We have the head of probation, school teachers. We just have a very diverse board. And they bring so much to the table. And if there's any area where it's new, I have somebody on my board that I can lean on.
So when did the first nonprofit go into the second nonprofit?
So the second location?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that started in a little bit before 2024, before October 2024, around there is when we had our ribbon cutting. And Tiffany from WRC, which is a crisis center called We Respect and Care, had come down and she had said, you know, we could really use something like this in our area. And I said, okay, let's make it happen. And it's been so great being part of Susquehanna County and the community up there. They've really taught me a lot and I've been able to participate in a lot of the programs. One of the things that we're really excited about is the Reentry Coalition that they just started there. And so we're active in that. And we're also active in the Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence Coalition and Trehab. We're a part of that as well. We've been able to just really immerse ourselves in the community. And I think that's so important because oftentimes rural communities like Bradford County and Susquehanna County are overlooked because there is such a large area that makes transportation difficult. There'll be a town and then there's a lot of countryside and then there's another town. And so, you know, maybe you're in the town of Susquehanna, but you need to get to Montrose, or you're in Gillett and you need to get to Towanda. So transportation can create such an issue, which is another reason why we've offered our parenting classes virtual, and sometimes we'll even offer the supervised visitation virtually as well. It's not nearly as fun as coming to one of our centers because our centers are child-friendly and very interactive and a whole lot of fun, but we really try to work with the transportation barriers of our families.
Do you think there'll ever come a time when you will be able to have an in-person presence instead of the virtual presence?
I'm up there frequently, and classes are in person as well. So we've definitely been leaning on our support systems in Susquehanna County so that we can support families in a real way.
If you don't mind, I need you to look back at where you were and how far you've come. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that an idea would be able to help so many people?
Absolutely not. No. It's really just been about doing the next right thing. In the beginning, the right thing was to offer the custody exchanges. And it just continued to grow to the next right decision. As my staff grew and they brought their passions with them, we've been able to accomplish those goals. So one of the newest things that I'm really excited about is, you know, this approach of going upstream. So we know that there's so many grandparents raising grandchildren right now. And We don't know how many because a lot of them don't have a formal custody agreement, but we know that there's a lot. And we have been talking about what do we do to just walk along our grandparents that are changing their lives at a time where their friends are going on cruises and their friends are maybe going to Florida in the wintertime, but now they're going to parent-teacher conferences. You know, how do we walk alongside them and support them? And so we started a group called Safe Legacy, and we're focused in on grandparents and kinship providers, where once a month we bring everyone together to hopefully build relationships and build a community, but also connect with the supports that are in our community. When you have young children, you don't necessarily have the time to do all the research, but if we have that information, we'd love to bring it to you. So we've had grandparents come to the table where we've talked about Area Agency on Aging, and they are very aware of this, grandparents raising grandchildren or grandfamilies, and they have supports. And then we've talked to Al-Anon, and they've come, and we actually had somebody that spoke that she is raising her grandson and just her experience. And it was just such a powerful meeting because it was just really hitting the heart of why we're all there. And then we're having an advocate from ARCC come and talk about how they support children that maybe have witnessed domestic violence in their home. And so in June, we're doing a co-parenting workshop, which will also include co-parenting with your child. I mean, what an idea that we never really talked about before. You know what co-parenting is, but have you ever co-parented with your child? So we're going to be having a little workshop on that, as well as co-parenting with maybe a former partner and that sort of thing.
From what I'm hearing, it just seems that you're getting people to come together to share their experiences. You're getting people to come together to share new ideas as to what is next for SAFE. And you're growing even further because of all these wonderful ideas. What do you feel is the benefit of doing these in-person visits and having these in-person symposiums? Aside from the ideas, what do you get out of that?
Community. When you're in a rural community, it's so easy to feel isolated and like you're alone and you're dealing with these nuance issues by yourself. And when you're together with others that are going through the same thing, there's other people out there that are cheering you on, or, you know, that you can call on and say, hey, I'm having a rough day. This was really hard for me. Or maybe it's a parenting class where we've helped parents kind of learn a new skill and now they've become friends. And so when they're having a rough day, they can call on each other and say, you know, I'm struggling with this, and to have somebody else come alongside them and as a peer and say, yeah, you know, that was me yesterday, but today is better, and tomorrow it's going to be better for you.
Have you ever found that in a situation sometimes people are so embarrassed or they're so upset and they're so uptight that they just can't seem to talk about it, but yet it's still bothering them, and you know that something is festering inside, and it's just a matter of time before they let it out, but it's a hard nut to crack, so to speak. What do you do in a case like that?
We see that more so with our supervised visitation services. We see parents that come in and they're needing to be supervised, and it's embarrassing to them. Sometimes they're angry at us, even though we're not the ones that told them they had to come here. We don't make those decisions. And so we really just try to get to know them and to say, hey, you know what? We're not here to judge you. We're just here to help you connect with your kiddo. We're just here to make sure that you can stay connected, and we're not making any decisions on your future custody. We're not judging what brought you here. We're just here to support you. Two different situations that I'm thinking of. One, I had a veteran that was doing supervised visitations while he was overcoming some things that he had been through, which was really, really difficult for him. Then he comes into a setting where, you know, we're kind of sitting as a fly on the wall to make sure that everything is well in their visit. And he had a rough time with that, and he wouldn't talk to us, and he was unhappy. And so my husband, who is also a vet, I said, you know, can you come help me supervise a visit? Because he has all of his clearances, he's done the training. So he came down, and the two of them connected in a way that two veterans can do that maybe me, not a veteran, could not. So after that, their visits just started to become so much more natural and easy, and he's on his own. He doesn't need us anymore, but it was really, really touching. And then we had another visit where we had a client that he was having a really rough time with some of our rules, and just in general, he was just having a rough time. So he decided to take a break, which was fine. Sometimes if you're having a rough time, maybe you don't want to be without your phone. We have a staggered leaving time, so you have to wait 10 minutes after the other parent leaves, you know, before you leave. And sometimes that can be really frustrating. We had a parent that was struggling with that. And so we took a little break, and then he came back to us, and he said, oh, can I begin again? I know I didn't leave on great terms. And we said, sure. And he came back, and he says, you know, when I left, I was really struggling with substances again. But I want you to know that I'm working towards sobriety. Like, I'm working to get clean. And he pulled out this chip from his pocket. And we just all celebrated right there, you know, because we were so excited for him to just be taking these steps towards getting healthy. We hit the reset button, and his visits went on, and they were fine after that. But, you know, sometimes when a person is using substances, having a structured setting, it can be a little difficult. But then they can come back to us when they're ready and have a beautiful visit and have great connections with their kiddos. And
I don't know if you realize how strong you really are. There's just something inside of you where people are able to relate to you. They're able to open up to you. They're able to unload, unburden without judgment. That's very rare.
What we put out in this world is what we get back, right? So if we're going to be in a place where we're helping others, we need to come, you know, to that place with an attitude of openness and being willing to learn and to grow with others.
So in the years that SAFE has been in existence, what has Heather learned?
Oh my goodness, so much, so much. Well, before I started SAFE, I had no idea how to write a grant, how to really public speak. I definitely wasn't teaching. I was in banking, and I knew how to show up to work with a smile on my face every day. And then after that, I just sort of learned as I went. You know, today I know I have to write a grant in order to make sure that services remain free for my clients. So I'm going to sit down and I'm going to learn how to write a grant. And tomorrow I know I have to teach a class. So I'm going to make sure that I've got all of the certifications to be able to teach that class. And so with each step that we've taken forward, doing the next right thing, there's all of this stuff that happens in the background. So my staff, I have an amazing staff. They also have to come alongside me and learn these new things, because when one of them is having a bad day and feeling overwhelmed, the other one's, you know, there to build them up and support them. I've also become a lot more neutral in my thoughts and my way of thinking, because when I was younger and I would stick my heels in on something and just, this is right, or this is black and this is white and this is how it's going to be, it was like, okay, now I'm going to learn an important lesson that I really didn't want to learn, but here we are.
You were kind of reading my mind, because life is a series of lessons, good, bad, and indifferent. And we have to have a little sampling of each in order to grow as a full person.
Correct.
So what are some of the lessons that have made you grow into the full person you are? Continuing to want to learn, that determination to move forward, what is it inside of you that pushes you forward?
To be completely transparent, what pushes me forward is just my personal faith in God, and just knowing that if He puts something on my heart, it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be easy, but there's going to be a way, and just leaning on that. And I by no means am sitting here saying that with a perfect, stellar history, I've made mistakes too. We all have. But I think when God puts something on your heart, you can make that choice to really follow through on that, or to just say, nope, not for me. And one of the things that I guess just continues to propel me forward is, this is the most, aside from being a mom, this is the most rewarding thing I've ever done.
Can you tell me the reason why?
Just seeing lives change. Oh my goodness. I think of one person in particular who, I was a domestic violence peer counselor, and this person came across my desk, and I thought he was the most terrifying person I'd ever encountered. I would see this person out, and I would just shudder because I knew, I just felt like he was so dangerous, and I knew that he could be very, very dangerous. And so he went away, and then he came out and he said, at this point, you know, we had started the supervised visits and he was referred to us. And I thought, you know what? No, he's too dangerous. I'm not going to take him because I have all girls working for me. I'm just, this is too much. But the mom said, you know, I really need some help. And so I said, okay, one time, we'll give it one time. The person that went away was not a sober person. The person that came back was. And that man was one of the most fun dads that visited. He brought ducks one day in a little tub, and they just splashed around, and all the little kids got to see the ducks. And he's done so good, and I'm so proud of him. This was years ago. And then in October, we were in a parade, and I saw him standing there with his baby. And I just, oh, it's like I had a smile from the inside out because he worked so hard to get to this place. Here he is holding his baby. He's got his son with him. As a mom, I was just so proud of him in that moment and so grateful that we took that chance, even though I did so kicking and screaming in the beginning.
You gave him the chance that he needed. That must be overwhelming to you at times to realize how many people now are on the right path because they came to a program that SAFE had offered. And SAFE is the nonprofit that you founded. And had it not been for that, they wouldn't know.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, I get so busy doing the work that I don't always reflect. And then one of my staff will say, hey, do you remember so-and-so? And I'll think for a minute because I don't, because there's so many. And, you know, eventually they'll tell a story. And I'll be like, oh, okay, I remember that person. But when we started out, we had just a couple of clients. And now, of course, it's been many years. And I can say that we've had hundreds, if not thousands. It's just amazing. I'm just one of the pieces that touched their lives. But hopefully it was a piece that made an impact, because I know that they definitely impacted my life.
How so?
You grow a lot when you work with people that are overcoming. And you've mentioned that, that you think I'm a strong person. And I'm really humbled that you say that. The people that are overcoming family violence, generational violence, substance use, homelessness, they can only do that if they're strong too. And having somebody that has faith in you and just says, hey, I'm just the meantime place because you're going to get through this. You're going to get on the other side of this and it's going to be okay. It's also great to see these kiddos thrive with getting to see their parents again and build a bond with them again. And sometimes, you know, kiddos come to us just to build that bond with their parents so they feel safe to be unsupervised. We've helped a dad learn how to change diapers. We've introduced babies to their fathers for the first time. We've taught people how to make bottles. There's a lot of really exciting things that we've done along the way to get parents to feel confident in their abilities to move on and do things on their own without us.
So you're passing on some of your strength to them.
Yeah, my hope is just to have a legacy of being a servant leader.
Now, can you explain what a servant leader is?
My dad taught me what a servant leader was. And he was one that I didn't know how much he did until he passed away. He volunteered. He helped elderly in the community. He would provide transportation. He would do backpacks for kiddos, you know, in school. And he was very active in his community. And he was so quiet about it. And yet, he was such a leader. Usually when he took time to vocalize what was on his mind, it was those things that you just really held on to. He raised four kids. And of course, my mom was also with him, but she was a stay-at-home mom and he worked a few jobs to make sure that happened. And he definitely left an impression with us.
What fosters the spirit of service in you?
I wish I had a good answer for that. Again, just listening to what I feel I'm being called to do. It's very humbling to know the impact of an idea and open an organization that's helped so many people.
an extraordinary story and an even more extraordinary person. Special thanks to Heather McNett, founder of the nonprofit organization Supporting Area Families Every Day, or SAFE, with locations in Bradford and Susquehanna counties, helping people redefine their journey in the most compassionate of ways. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.